The weekend is near and the next round of footy is finally upon us. And your ultimate guide to all the upcoming action lies within the Fox Footy Podcast Bunker. Welcome to Match Committee.
Could that have been the most costly 12-minute period in the AFL season so far? The Adelaide Crows fell apart against Hawthorn on Saturday night, and now their 2018 campaign is in tatters. We'll analyse that game as well as all the other games played on the weekend and where the teams with the bye upcoming sit in the grand scheme of things in the AFL season. G'day everyone, I'm Ben Waterworth. Welcome to the Fox Footy Podcast. All thanks to the Fox Footy app. You can head to the Google Play or iTunes store and download the Fox Footy app for all the latest news, highlights, scores and stats for real footy fans. Speaking of real footy fans, Tom Morris, hello.
Ben, thank you very much for having me. That's one of the great intros, actually. That was a real sort of lengthy soliloquy type operation.
After four takes as well there, Thomas.
No, well done.
Speaking of big fans, I don't think there's been ever been a bigger WWE fan this week. Oof. After the news was confirmed that the WWE is coming to the MCG the Saturday after Grand Final Day, Max Lawton.
It's the biggest day of the year at the Grand Final. Second now to the WWE extravaganza.
Did you break the story, Max?
No, absolutely not.
Why not?
Because it was given to the Herald Sun to be on the front page. They have the front page of a major newspaper. I have
an iPhone.
I have posting things on my Twitter account and retweeting them on Fox Sports Australia. Yeah.
Still great news.
It is great news. Yeah. So how many are they expecting potentially?
Well,
for the,
I'm interested to see how many tickets they actually sell, because you can sort of tell by the T's and C's. The Herald Sun has a competition to win some tickets. And the front row tickets are $1,000.
Oh, really?
And then
to watch something that's fake.
Come on, Thomas.
No, I do love WWE. Yeah, sorry, I'm stirring him up.
Very, very good. Very good. But even in the stands, apparently, it seems to be about $450. So if they're going to be that expensive, I struggle to see how they're going to pack it out. I didn't think they were getting $100,000 anyway, but should be very big. Triple H v The Undertaker main event.
Will you be there?
Hopefully working in some capacity, so I do not have to pay those exorbitant prices.
From the top row of the southern stand, it might actually look like they are hitting each other, Ben.
It might.
Those ants are fighting. Look out.
Thank you for that insight, Thomas.
No, I do
always.
Like WWE.
William Regal, hopefully.
I was hoping for the Hardy Brothers, but then I saw...
They're there.
Will Vince McMahon come, though?
He might be in some sort of official capacity. But
is The Rock officially retired, though?
It's more that he can't wrestle because the insurance is so expensive because of the movies he's doing constantly.
Okay. Anyway, let's move on to talk a footy podcast.
Yes, from the Fox WWE wrestling podcast to the Fox Footy podcast, let's have a look at the match committee big call. So, as always, any player that should be dropped or picked ahead of round 14, time is flying this season. Thomas?
Yeah, why is Will Brodie not in Gold Coast senior team?
Yes,
28,
I agree with that.
28 disposals on the weekend in the NEAFL. Now, that's not the NEAFL. It's not exactly... high-level, second-tier competition.
Consistently been getting good numbers, though.
So I'm looking at his stats here. He's played two senior games this year. I know he hasn't lit the world up there, but he's averaging 25 disposals a game in the NEAFL. Fair dinkum, get him in, because he's not going to do any worse than the blokes who are in there at the moment. Their last fourth terms have yielded a total of one behind.
Two, actually. The record is one, which was held by St Kilda in 1901.
Okay, just before our time. Yes. Well, they're a mess at the moment, Gold Coast, probably even more so than they were. They just didn't know how to win this game, and I know we'll talk about it, but Will Brodie has to be in this senior team, if not for the fact you need to get some games into him
sort
now.
Sort of the modern prototype inside midfielder, a little bit of size.
High draft pick.
Yeah, got to play him. Maxie, what about yours?
I mean, the Bulldogs are going to be forced into a bunch of changes given their incredible injury rash, particularly coming out of the Port Adelaide game. Lin Jong was a question mark as to why he wasn't in the team when they had fit players, so certainly he should be back in. And I think Caleb Daniel was a bit of a question mark as well, given his form.
Five touches.
Not great, but I just can't imagine them dropping anyone because, I mean, the VFL side's probably going to be picking me up to play this weekend.
I wouldn't go that far, Max.
No, that's true.
29 fit players, according to the injury list, the Bulldogs, plus McLean, Bontempelli, and Hunter under injury clouds. They've got almost just a team to pick from. It's almost like a club footy game where you pull people out of the reserves.
And the news came out on Saturday, Max, you know, you put the story up, you know, Easton Wood going to miss probably the rest of the season.
Yeah, 10 to 12, which is basically the season at this point.
I think they've only got about 28 or 29 fit players to choose from the Bulldogs this weekend.
Well, that's Max. That's what we just said. Like, I can't see how they can win games of footy with that depleted injury list. And it's not like Adelaide where they've got a hamstring epidemic. They are all sorts of different injuries.
Yes.
A lot of it just bad luck.
Yeah, a lot of this is the one that is unlucky. Adelaide, you can criticise their handling of all this stuff.
Criticise a lot about that club.
I believe you have, and so on and so forth. So it's really unfortunate for the Bulldogs, and they're in that weird position now where they're totally irrelevant to this season.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to finish bottom four. They've already won four games, and they're better than those teams below them. Maybe Brisbane could beat them on their day.
So that's a nice segue, Maxi, into the power rankings and where the Dogs sit, because the... I might have been heard from one of our ballot entrants, I think, during on Monday, that it is very tough to pick the power rankings at the bottom end at the moment.
It feels like every week we rank someone 17th and they win. Yes. I mean, that's purely anecdotal. So apparently Gold Coast is going to win next week based on that. The bottom four, you could really put it in almost any order, although Gold Coast and Carlton look terrible right now, particularly based on the weekend.
They clearly 17th and 18th now.
I suggested they would be 19th and 20th last week. So, you know, that's only getting better, I guess, if they're 17th and 18th. And the Bulldogs 14th. So, like, the Bulldogs are not going to get any higher than that unless Essendon really collapses or something like that. And there wasn't actually a lot of movement in the top 10 or so because we had quite a few teams on bye. Collingwood and Melbourne, for example.
Yeah.
Teams where we want to know a lot about them, but we don't know now.
I've got nothing to say about the power rankings. That sounds all good to me, Max.
Sorry.
You're waiting for me to say something.
No, it is an interesting point you made about, because Collingwood and Melbourne have been two of the teams that, for a lot of the season, have been hard to get a read on because they have put together some really big chunks of great games and then just dropped that odd one, which has sort of thrown the rankings out a little bit. So it'd be good to see how they, if they can sort of stabilise. And I think to a certain extent they already have stabilised, but further stabilise in the back half of the season.
Who's number one? That's what I want to ask.
It is Richmond. We had
significantly?
Them,
easily?
Unanimously number one.
Okay, yeah. That's what I'm
saying. And we had them number one last week, and a few people said, well, why aren't West Coast? Because they'd won 10 in a row, and then West Coast go and lose to Sydney, and Sydney remain third, in fact, behind West Coast. So,
and who's fourth, Geelong or Melbourne?
It is Geelong. Melbourne is sixth, Collingwood fifth, Port seventh.
So Collingwood's above Melbourne.
Melbourne. Yes.
Whoever these experts are that are putting these ballots in are spuds, because there's no way. I know Collingwood defeated Melbourne.
Literally defeated Melbourne in their last game, Tom.
I'm aware of that, but you put them in a final now, I back Melbourne over Collingwood.
That's an interesting question.
But what have you learned in the 1.5 weeks where they have not played footy that makes you think that?
Sometimes when you watch footy, you just think this team's going to win. I just think Melbourne are better than Collingwood. Okay. That's it.
Okay, well, which just leads us into the run home as well, Maxie.
Yeah.
Has this article started a week earlier than
No, so the buys are a week later. That's the thing. So usually I do it after the buys, but you've got to get these out first. That's the web these days.
It is the web.
Get it out there fast but accurate.
Do you feel like there was sort of like an entree to the run home on Thursday when we wrote about Hawthorn potentially making they should make the finals given their run home, and then Max delved into it a hell of a lot deeper a few days later.
You say entree, I say you doing my article a few days early.
not as well. I did the smoked salmon, and you just gave a massive portion of steak.
My 3,600 words.
Yes. 3,600 words.
Yeah, it was a very, very
That's a small book.
A very long effort from Maxi. But what were you able to gauge after a mindless kind of 3,600 word essay?
So that and my huge spreadsheet where I tried to figure out who has the toughest draw. What I essentially figured out is I don't think there are going to be any changes to the top eight.
Right.
Which is usual
this time of year, though, isn't
it? Yes, but I don't even know that there are going to be any order changes, really. So The difficulty in this is my process is I go through every game and tip them. Obviously, I'm not going to get 9 every round from here on out. So there are going to be... I might.
Yes.
I'll try my best. But, you know, there are going to be upsets and so on. But I tip the favourites. And what this has ended up having is Richmond and West Coast finishing both 19-3 for the season.
19-3?
Because you look at their runs home. They're so
easy. It's incredible.
That every team, bar Sydney in the top eight, has a really easy run home. They're playing a bunch of bad teams, a bunch of question mark teams. GWS and Adelaide are on a lot of teams' fixtures because they've got quite a tough run home.
Yeah, they do.
And we don't know where they are. If they're going to improve, then suddenly these draws get a lot tougher and we can get some moves. But for now, I'm not expecting it.
Can Richmond and West Coast finish the season 19-3?
Absolutely they can. I think that's... Well, especially West Coast, as you just said, by virtue of the fact... Oh, no, actually, where'd they finish last year? Were they sixth or seventh last year?
West Coast snuck into eighth, I believe.
Yeah, sorry, you're right. Or seventh.
That must,
Essendon.
Surely you'd remember that, Tom, or is it too soon?
Eighth, Melbourne.
The Ds were able to.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's right. I forgot about that, actually.
No,
but that means they were in the middle sixth, third of the competition, which makes their draw, in theory, easier than what Sydney's would be or what Richmond's would be.
Yeah, so I don't know how much of this is teams have already had their earlier games or their easier games, rather, or if these fixtures have just happened to end up being more easier than we expected. Sydney's, I measured, as the hardest left in the comp.
Yeah, and I think Champion Data agree with that as well.
Which is always good to hear. So if you look at their draw, they've got the bye this week. Richmond, away, Geelong at home, North away is a very tough 3 weeks out of the bye. This is a team that can win all of those games, but you'd think when you have so many tough games coming up, Gold Coast at the SCG is the only one where I'd guarantee they're going to win.
Yes.
Sydney's entire run.
Because the Gold Coast Suns are a nightmare.
But, yeah. But that's incredible considering Sydney have now won their past six consecutive games. Mm. And doesn't it feel like the Swans are slipping under the radar as a premiership?
Yeah,
contender?
I think so. They're building, but they're building slowly and they're doing so in a way that's not overly glamorous either. They're not great to watch. They've lost at home.
You don't like watching them, do you?
No, I don't enjoy watching the Sydney Swans, but they couldn't care less whether I enjoyed watching them. They're just trying to win games of footy. And that's all that really matters. I love watching Buddy. Mm. But Buddy is having less of an influence on this team than he ever has, I think. Not through any poor form, just because they've got so many different avenues to goal that they found. And that's a good thing. Not dissimilar to what Hawthorn had in 2013 when they sort of marginalised Buddy a little bit and made them more unpredictable. Now, I'm not saying that Buddy is still not the focal point, but clearly Sydney Swans forward line is working a hell of a lot better in the last 6 weeks than it did in the first 6 weeks of the season.
So is this... I heard David King talking about this the other day as well. Mm. How much of an influence is the younger players in this side in terms of Ollie Florent, and in particular, King was big on Ben Ronken, the speed that those two players have added? Because Sydney has never been a team that has been renowned for its speed on the outside.
No.
It's always been renowned for its work inside the contest. But these two players in particular have added another dimension to the side.
Well, I think it's an AFL-wide trend that if you get your mid-sized, classy, skillful, not necessarily prolific players in the right spot in the forward half, then your forward line can just flourish. And it's a Dan Menzel-type situation where these mid-sized players who can sort of mark, they can also pick the ball off the ground, are really, really valuable. And they're actually probably more valuable than your big hulking full forward, Paddy McCartan or John Patton. If you're designing a forward line in the modern-day game, you have your probably Jeremy Cameron and your Buddy Franklin, and you just have four or five smalls around them. And I say smalls, mid-180 smalls, who can do everything.
Yeah.
The jack-of-all-trade all-rounders, they are the most valuable players in the front half, and there's so many examples in the AFL of these sorts of players.
Yep, Sydney's really improving because of all that. And I've been a doubter on Sydney all season. They're obviously beating West Coast is a big sign of their improvement, and they do seem to be getting better, and they do seem to be getting closer to that flag contention. But because of that draw, I think they might drop one or two, and that could cost them a home qualifying final, which would be huge, because if you're third and Richmond and West Coast are first and second, you're going to be having to either travel to Perth or travel to the MCG to play Richmond.
Maybe they'd prefer to play away from the SCG in the first week of finals.
Potentially, but I still think it's better than playing at Optus.
Yes, I agree with that.
So just on the Swans as well, the trend that we're seeing with the team, this is emphasised on the couch on Monday night, was that they are absorbing so much heat. Very similar to what they did in 2016.
Yes.
We all remember that preliminary final against Geelong where they were annihilated in terms of the inside 50 count, but their efficiency going forward and ability to absorb that heat was second to none, and exactly the same is happening. They've lost this season. They've lost the count seven times this season and won it seven times this season.
Yeah, really.
Which is incredible. So to give that some context, North Melbourne and Adelaide have lost the inside count inside 50 count seven times this season, but won just three times.
Yeah, okay.
So the Swans' ability to absorb is outstanding.
And it's really impressive the way that they just... What that actually means in terms of play is that they're forcing less good entries. Mm. There are you're not getting a quality entry against Sydney, so you might be getting some scoring shots even if you're getting those inside 50s, but they're terrible options.
Yeah, and that combined with the fact that defence reads the ball so well. And they've got Jared McVay back there who's playing some unbelievable footy in what will probably be his last year of his career, which in itself is its own news story.
Yes, well, what do you think is going to happen with McVay? Because there are some... Well, there was actually conflicting statements from the club itself and management about Jared McVay's situation.
I think did we speak about that last week on the podcast?
A little bit, I believe.
A little bit.
Yeah. Look, Sydney expects him to be there next year in a coaching or playing capacity. But I've got no doubt if Sydney says, nah, I would prefer to be coach, and he says, I'd actually prefer to play on, they would then allow him to go somewhere else to play. A Gold Coast would be a perfect fit for him, wouldn't it? Just to marshal the troops in the back half. If he doesn't want to play on, then he'll be at Sydney as an assistant coach. But he's playing too well to retire at the moment. Mm. I've never been a big believer, I guess on a broad note, that players should retire when they're at their best. Get the most out of your body. No one remembers Matthew Pavlich being an ordinary forward in the last year of his career. Still remember him like a legend. You just know as a player that you get the most out of your career. And David Neitz is a Hall of Famer. He couldn't touch it for the last 10 matches of his career, but no one cares because he got the most out of his body.
You got a photo with David Neitz on Hall of Fame night, didn't you?
I did. I love David Neitz.
Yes.
Oh, he was a star. From outside 50, All-Australian centre-half back as well. battles with Wayne Carey. What a star.
Not to jump too far forward to mid-season report cards, but would McVay not make a lot of sense for Carlton as well?
Yeah, he would. And there was rumours last year that that would be the case. I think Carlton's in an interesting position. How many more older players from other clubs do they need? They do have some leadership. If they lose Mark Murphy, I think McVay's value for Carlton goes up a hell of a lot.
Yeah, particularly because we're talking about how their mature ages are journeymen, recycled players, and they're not bringing that leadership.
So let's quickly touch on Saturday afternoon's game between Fremantle and Carlton.
You got a bucket to vomit in?
I said quickly, Thomas.
Sorry.
Well, so what did you take away from the game from a Blues perspective? Is it a game day issue or is it a list issue?
It's an all-encompassing club issue.
Right.
That is seemingly not, I don't think it's just a list management. I think it's everything with that club at the moment. And geez, it's lucky they've got a coach that's apparently stable because everything else is going wrong. Now, I think their list management, they've clearly got wrong. They've got all these GWS rejects and how many of them have been successful. Mm. But equally, how you can play so poorly in a first half against a team that won't play finals anyway when you're at home is just mind-boggling, isn't it?
I would think so. Jared Waitley was really strong on this on AFL 360 last night, and he made some points. He essentially said Carlton should have beaten Fremantle in Melbourne.
I tipped them.
You tipped Carlton?
I did tip them. I thought they'd beat Fremantle in Melbourne.
So I think this is a misguided view of what this Carlton rebuild is. Mm. And this has been coming for a while, and I think we've probably spoken about this before, but this was always, and Mark Lagudice came out and said this in the Herald Sun on their back page on Tuesday morning. This is always going to be their lowest point because they came from such a difficult part for their rebuild. They had so many mature players, they had to go deep, deep into a rebuild to get players into this draft. Now, whether they've picked the right players is still up for debate. They don't look fantastic right now from the draft, but they're always going to be in this difficult spot. And the other question is, what's the alternative to those recycled players? You need to play someone.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, I agree.
The difficulty they have
There's 20 recycled players on that list. The most any other AFL club has is 13.
So are they in a better spot if they keep some of all the... We always talk about those players who've gone to Adelaide or wherever, all those players who've left. Are they in a better spot if they have those players and they're winning 5 games instead of 2 this year?
Yeah, it's interesting.
They're in
it?
A worse spot in the draft. And theoretically, if some of those recycled players do look good, you can trade them out and get some value. You can't do it mid-season like you can in American sports.
No.
But you can get something out of them. So I'm fine with Carlton being terrible. They're always going to be terrible, especially when they lost Doherty and Gibbs in the trade period.
Yeah, that's true. And Riley Beveridge, our former Fox footy journalist, always said they were going to be bad this year. He said, what do you expect? They lost Gibbs. They don't have Murphy because he's been injured. They lost Doherty. And the other thing we need to remember as well, as a media and as an industry, just take a deep breath. There are 18 teams. It's impossible for 18 to fit into 9. There's always going to be teams that struggle. And Carlton, I don't think as a club they're a basket case anymore, but certainly as a football team, they are. But there's always going to be teams like that.
It's just because there's this aura of impatience around Carlton. You remember back to during the early part of the 2016 season when Mick Malthouse was seriously under the pump, or 2015 season. There was a real aura of impatience about Blues then.
But I actually think we've spoken about that more than it exists. Carlton got booed off at halftime a little bit.
Yes.
But at the end of the game, they were getting cheered by their fans. Yes. They got clapped off. So the fans are recognising that this is a rebuild that has to happen.
Within a half, it's changed their perspective, has it?
I guess so. The problem in 2015 was Mick coming out and saying, I can't see us losing a game, and thinking they can win the flag and contend.
That was a great quote, wasn't it?
Mick Malthouse, seriously, don't even get me started.
The problem is when they have the wrong expectations. They are setting lower expectations now, so you can't be as upset if you're a Carlton.
Well, they say they're setting low expectations, but they're also doing it and then coming out and saying, actually, no, we want to be a really strong football team now. Brendan Bolton is impatient himself.
Well, of course he wants to. He's not going to come out and say in front of the players, we're going to be crap.
No, but... Some teams do. Some, like Paul Roos, when he took over Melbourne, said, we're not going to be any good this year. Let's just try to be as competitive as we can. Brendan Bolton's not saying that. He's saying, we want to win every week. So there is a way you can phrase it.
Speaking of Mick Malthouse, some interesting comments from Mick on Thursday night, just after news broke that Melbourne had appointed Gary Pirt as its CEO. For pretty soon, I think. You know, Peter Jackson...
October at this stage.
We'll see out the rest of the season as the CEO, and there was sort of a transition period mooted, but whether that comes to fruition now, who knows?
Yep.
But Mick was very strong on the Demons probably haven't made the best choice by appointing Gary Pirt, admitting at the same time that his relationship with Pirt was pretty strained during his time there. But Mick, very strong there, Thomas.
Very strong. Predictable comments, though. Mick and Gary Pirt never had a strong relationship. But Gary Pirt is a divisive figure in many respects. So in the media landscape, he's got some enemies, I think, as everyone would in his position as a higher person at SEN when he was there on the board.
Triple M.
And Triple M. But equally, he's got a lot of admirers. The AFL like him a lot. Glenn Bartlett, the chairman of Melbourne Football Club, likes him. Russell Reynolds, who helped develop the criteria for the next 5 years at Melbourne Football Club to appoint a CEO and have KPIs, clearly he's a big fan as well. The board likes him. There was a lot of raised eyebrows about this appointment.
But my eyebrow was raised because of how soon it was. It was only a month ago that Jackson said he was going to step down from the role and would help transition. But a month into the process, when Jackson's supposed to be there until the end of the 2019 season?
Yeah, well, he's there until at this stage, until the end of October. My understanding is Jackson and Bartlett will meet this week and they'll discuss exactly what's going to take place. There's been a bit of noise around whether Peter Jackson should have had a key say in who succeeded him. But I think my understanding of good governance is that you don't have any say in who succeeds you. Yeah. You let the board, you let the recruiters do that job, and then they just appoint whoever they want. And in the end, that's Gary Peart. So, time will tell whether it's the right call. I think commercially it is, but there's obviously a lot of other elements that go into being a good CEO. Mm.
It's very, very true. We'll watch that space with ample interest. You'll be all over it, Thomas.
Yes, absolutely.
Foxfooty.com.au and on the couch. Speaking of on the couch, the boys on the couch tore the Crows to shreds last night, led the show with the Crows for the first 10 minutes. And it was sort of broken up into two segments, Maxi, talking about their performance against Hawthorn and how it's all sort of unraveled, not only on Saturday night, but in the lead up to Saturday night. It all sort of crescendoed, I think, up until Saturday night. And then what the Crows do from here on in, particularly with a potentially strong draft hand.
Yeah, so let's do the former first. Yes. What's for the now? That was that 12 minutes that you talked about in the intro.
Yes.
Which was just appalling.
16 clearances to none, was it, in that time?
15 in a row, the fifth most ever in a row allowed.
Is that right?
By
yes.
a team.
Yeah. And this is not a midfield that's full of kids, the Adelaide midfield.
Matt Crouch was running around. Greenwood's been sold.
Richard Douglas was in there.
Yep. Like Statesman's been good.
Yeah, so that's inexcusable.
You were there. What did you see at the MCG, Benny?
I saw...
Apart from the Socceroos on the TV, just
yes,
above where you're sitting.
Well, Thomas was also on the boundary, might even be able to get a better idea of it being at ground level, but it just looked like a real dispirited Adelaide side. Don Pike, I thought, was pretty impressive in the post-match afterwards. Didn't back away from anything, just said how disappointed he was.
They're finally being honest.
Yeah, they were finally being honest. We saw that, I think, when Pike, in his midweek presser last week, admitted that the infamous camp, Tom, which you will... were all over at the start of this year, that they would do it differently this time. So he didn't rule out not doing it ever again, but doing it differently.
About time. I mean, this club has had its head in the sand for the past 2 months trying to pretend that they are and they were something other than what they're showing at the moment. Don Pike is the most impressive figure in the club by a long way. As a coach, as a media performer, I really like him. Everyone else has just completely lost the plot at the Adelaide Football Club over the past 2 months. In lying about injuries and denying the training camp was an issue. Clearly, it was an issue. Clearly, we all knew that. But by them denying it, it just prolonged the media story.
Prolonged it for a good 3-4 months.
It hasn't been. But what I will say is that you said dispirited. They just looked broken on the weekend. They looked broken physically and they looked broken emotionally as well. It's been a hell of a long season for a club that's had so many injuries. And after the game, Daniel Talia, in an interview with 3AW, wasn't asked about a grand final hangover. He actually said, yes, this is a grand final hangover.
Right.
He admitted it. They came back unfit in December, and they haven't recovered from that moment.
And the weird thing is, so we've had all this social media stuff going on over the weekend, like some weird little fan campaign asking
for saw that.
Answers.
We want answers.
Yes.
You know what I saw in that that really interested me? It was nitpicking, but it's things like they don't do hashtag Crows Chat on Twitter anymore.
Oh, yes.
The social media is almost shut down a little bit as much as the club has.
Yeah.
Really reflecting... the entire Adelaide Crows.
Do you think that's a strategy from the top down?
Potentially. It's very hard to be extremely positive on social media. I know this for a fact. And on websites and on club media channels when your team isn't playing well and there's controversy. Now, I think Adelaide Football Club probably feel like the whole world's on top of them. But I think in many respects, they've brought it upon themselves.
So they were averaging 110 points per game last year, only averaging 83 this season. So they've gone from first to 11th for offensive output in 2018. So the second part of the couch discussion last night, Maxi, was something that you've just analysed for foxfooty.com.au about how they should approach not only the trade period, but also the draft. Because at the moment, due to the trades they did last year, including Jake Lever and Charlie Cameron, that they are looking pretty strong in that first round, and it could get stronger if they move a couple of chess pieces.
Yeah, so the question is whether they really go all in on the draft or not. So as it is, I believe they have picks 8, 15, and 19, 19 being Carlton's second round pick.
So as the ladder stands at the moment.
Yes, and so then theoretically what could happen is if some players move out, if Sloane moves, Rory Sloane, there's been a bit of discussion around him whether he's going to stay or go. I think Tom probably knows a bit more about that than both of us, Benny, but if he goes and they get a first-round pick in compensation, that comes after their natural first pick in the draft, say that's pick 9.
Yep.
Then say Mitch McGovern wants to leave, as is the rumblings around that he wants to, despite being contracted, wants to leave the Crows. Get a first-round pick for him from Hawthorn, theoretically. That's pick 11 as well. That's giving you 5 picks in the top 20. In the strongest South Australian draft in history, 2 potential top 3 picks, Rankin and Lukosius. Really good picks, and then another in the top 10 as well who could possibly go. So it's not just that they could be getting a lot of talent, but talent that won't have the go-home factor.
It is a very tempting thing for,
proposition.
For the Adelaide Crows, because their list is already, I think, pretty strong. There's not when they're fully on the field and they don't have any injuries to worry about. They're pretty strong from backline to forward line, the Crows, at the moment. Would you be tempted, Thomas?
Well, it's not like you're trading out players that really want to be there. Unlike, you know, when St Kilda traded Ben McAvoy out, he sort of thought, oh, well, what's going on here? If Sloane wants to go as a free agent, then you go, okay, that's fine. And if Mitch McGovern wants to go as a trade, you sort of go, well, you know what? That's fine, because we'll get something in return, and we might have 5 picks in the top 20, which is an unbelievable. That's GWS type draft numbers, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And as Maxie mentioned, this is the strongest South Australian draft for quite some time. Jack Lukosius, favourite to go pick 1. Isaac Rankin reminds me of Andrew McLeod every time I watch him. Yeah. He's an incredible player. 2 midfielders, Connor Rosie and Jackson Hatley, already playing a senior Sandful football as well.
I've got to say as well, though, this is renovating on the run if they can do it.
Like, yes.
It would be a great thing for their club just to revitalise that youth. And it's not like their youth is no good anyway. They've got some good young players.
Yep.
But it would just give them a little kicker along, wouldn't it? And they'd lose Sloane and McGovern, but hey, that still have Eddie Betts, that still have Tex Walker, that still have the Crouch brothers. So
I think the key is that they don't need to lose Sloane and McGovern to have a really good draft hand. With 3 in the top 20 is already very good.
Yes, it is.
Already the best. You could trade 8 and 15 for pick 2 based on the draft value index that the AFL puts out.
You could.
I don't know if you'd actually get that.
No, you wouldn't get that.
That's theoretically the value, but you could put a bit more in there. If you get another, if one of them leaves and you trade 8 and 11 for pick 2 and you're getting Lukosius or Rankin, you're pretty happy if you're the Crows, and that's a team that would need bulk picks who you're trading up with.
The point is, 3 in the top 20 is very good, but it doesn't guarantee you a lot. I think 5 in the top 20, pretty much, like in 4 years' time, you've stockpiled talent.
Just take those 5 picks. One of them is going to hit.
Before we get to that 5 in 20, though, Sloane and McGovern have to lead. What's your read at the moment, Thomas, on Sloane and McGovern?
Oh, my understanding is McGovern wants out, and that's McClure's reports. Extremely
Sam
factual.
From SEN.
Yeah, and the age, absolutely spot on. The McGovern, at this stage, wants to leave. Yeah.
And we won't officially know that, I think, until the end of the season. That's been widely said.
Yeah, I think so. And it doesn't mean, he's injured at the moment, isn't he? Or is he playing?
I know he's injured at the moment.
He's injured. So when he comes, that's right, he's injured. But when he comes back, he still might play some good footy. We saw Dangerfield play good footy, even though he knew he was going. So my understanding is McGovern wants to go. Rory Sloane is still weighing up his future, but the longer it goes, the more I think he will he will go to a club of his choice as a free agent.
Yep.
I think Hawthorn is the leader in that category.
Right.
My read on it is that Hawthorn is more likely to have him next year than Adelaide at this point. But that's just from people around him and people I've spoken to yesterday and the day before about the Rory Sloane situation.
Is there any question as to whether this would have to be a trade given he's a restricted free agent?
Is Sloane restricted?
Was he not restricted at the
start? He is restricted. Yeah. So there was a ruling, there's a little bit of conjecture about whether he was unrestricted or restricted, and I think it came back as restricted.
Okay, well, I think Adelaide would likely let him go. I think he'd get a pretty good deal elsewhere. But, again, this all depends on his Elizabeth Frank foot injury.
Yes, Elizabeth Frank.
Liz Frank.
Yes.
That he's struggling with at the moment. Because if he continues to struggle for the rest of the year, he might not have any value elsewhere, and he might have to stay. But I think it's more likely he leaves than stays at this point.
Sloane, O'Meara and Mitchell in the midfield.
Pretty good, isn't it?
That's pretty tantalising.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'd rank Sloane more of a chance to leave than stay. But again, that's how it sits at the moment, and that could completely change in 10 weeks' time.
Can we talk about Hawthorn as well, the team that he potentially could be going to? Because there's these middle-of-the-ladder teams that are really interesting too in the run home.
Yes.
So North Melbourne and Hawthorn have the 2 easiest draws left. And I think one of them might
be easiest.
Two easiest in the entire comp. And I think one of them misses out in finals despite winning 13 games.
Well, you put this
in. Is that right?
Did you put this in your play on or your live
this
blog?
This is why you loved Hawthorn so much.
On Thursday, saying there were four teams around this sort of middle of the range mark: GWS, North Melbourne, Hawthorn.
Adelaide.
Yes, Adelaide was the other one.
So I think Adelaide miss out.
Yes.
I actually think GWS miss out. But North Melbourne's draw is so good as well. Yeah. So one of North or Hawthorn, you're saying, could miss out with 13 wins.
I think so. I think it's North and Hawthorn playing off for eighth. I think GWS and Adelaide. Adelaide is the second hardest draw. We know how tough their 3 weeks are after the bye with West Coast, Richmond and Geelong. GWS could be improving, but Rory Lobb, we found out was injured here on Tuesday morning.
6 weeks out.
That's not great. So they've got a pretty run, seventh hardest of all. But North's run: Bulldogs, Essendon, Gold Coast, Sydney, Collingwood, West Coast. That's a tough three. But then Brisbane, Bulldogs again, Crows, St Kilda. There's six wins in there almost for sure.
Yeah.
Hawthorn, Gold Coast, GWS, Bulldogs, Brisbane, Carlton, Freo over there, Essendon, Geelong, St Kilda, Sydney. That's another six wins in there.
Yeah.
Those teams could win seven or eight. They could get into the top four calculations if the teams were above them.
You'd be unlucky to miss out with 13 wins, wouldn't you?
Seriously.
But it's entirely possible. They're both at 7-5 right now. That's why I don't think GWS and Adelaide can make it. They've both won six.
Do North and Hawthorn play each other?
No.
They've already played each other.
Yes.
In the Yeah, wow. Okay.
So Lance Petroni Cup, yes.
So it's, So that's what. So I have North basically right now because they're ahead by 8 percentage points.
Right.
But it could be up to percentage, literally.
I just think Hawthorn are slightly better, but I think North Melbourne's best 22 can match it pretty much with anyone. The problem is if they get a few injuries, they need Jared Waite playing.
What about Richmond and Geelong, the game that we saw on Sunday afternoon, which was a great win for Fox Footy? It was the highest rating game ever.
I was there, Ben.
Yeah. You were there as well, Thomas.
That's probably why it rated so well.
Yeah, of course.
Keeping warm as well. It was a terrible day.
I was in the Frank Gray Smith bar, then the Percy Beams, and then the Bull Ring.
I went
down, yes. That's the David Eads bar was shut, unfortunately.
It was an incredible opportunity, I think, for Richmond to really prove themselves in a different kind of win, and to see Dan Rioli come back and have a big influence, to see Nick Vlosten play arguably the best game of his career, and the continual improvement of Jaden Short throughout this year as well. This is a Richmond team that is just progressing from that grand final win last year.
Isn't it amazing with these good teams, so Richmond this year, but also Sydney in years gone by, and Hawthorn, that they just seem to find these players and they improve so quickly out of nowhere. And Hawthorn did it for years. If you have a good core of, let's say, 10 to 12 players in your team with leadership values and talent, then it's so much easier for those young players to come in and spend 20, 30, 40 games and actually become seasoned AFL players pretty quickly. It doesn't happen at Carlton or Melbourne in the past or St Kilda, doesn't it? Because these players get too much exposure too quickly.
And the interesting thing about Richmond for me as well is that they've done so well at... They had that burst of form, like they were a top four side last year and then had that incredible September, of course. But unlike the Bulldogs, they haven't dropped off the season after. They've really just kept it going. They're still that top level. I've been saying all year, I think they lose one game at the MCG this season. I don't know when it is still. Maybe Collingwood in a couple of weeks.
Not the last Saturday in September, you're thinking?
If they haven't lost till then, maybe they will.
So can anyone beat Richmond at the MCG come finals time?
I think so. I think, but I
Which
wouldn't...
teams? So I don't think West Coast can. Can West Coast?
No. I think honestly,
Sydney?
At their best, I reckon Geelong can. I still think Geelong can beat Richmond at the MCG.
Yeah, they impressed me. I thought the game went as I thought in that it was close and then it blew out in the fourth quarter, but Geelong was about three goals closer than I would have tipped.
I'd love to see a Collingwood-Richmond MCG final.
That'd be incredible,
I think they're one of the ones. I think we'll see a lot. They play in a few rounds' time, which will be the game where Richmond can set the record for the most wins all time in a row at the G.
Yeah, not sure Melbourne can yet.
Right.
Especially without Jake Lever.
Imagine a Richmond-Melbourne final, Thomas.
Sure. I'm getting jittery knees. I can't even think about it. Have we got Farrah Farr soon?
Yes, we do.
I'll wait.
Momentarily. Just quick one.
Where's my segment, Ben?
St Kilda. We talked about the Suns a little bit earlier. But was that... How do we read this St Kilda victory? Are you glass half full or glass half empty? Because despite the emotion around the victory and the wonderful comeback and the classy Jay Gresham finish... Yep. I can't get over the fact that they were 39 points down against the Gold Coast Suns.
Oh, no, glass half empty. This is not a circuit breaker. This just gives them the time to take a breath. That's all it is. Yeah. Have a week to take a breath and not be in the news, and then you'll be in the news again in a week or two's time.
Yeah, if anyone thinks that one Jade Gresham contest win is what saves Alan Richardson's job, that's a bit silly, I think. What could save his job is the fight that they showed in that fourth quarter, how they completely dominated it. fought their way back into the contest, really tried hard for him. That was impressive, but still to be in that position against Gold Coast.
Well, Simon Lethlean's already wielded his very small axe. I'm sure he's going to sharpen it throughout the season and towards the back end of the year with Tony Elshaw, the list and recruiting manager, gone. I would be surprised if there wasn't more changes before the start of next season.
That was the first domino of many to come.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, they've got a lot of assistance out of contract. I think Richo's going to keep his job, but again, that depends on the last 8 or 9 weeks of the year. And then they will clean out what's below them.
So
below
then,
him.
If we were half empty on the Saints on Saturday night, were we also half empty on the Suns?
We're dehydrated on the Suns. There's no water left in the cup.
Yes. And the glass is broken as well.
Yeah. They played some. Their ball movement in the first half was good, the Suns. Yeah. But it pales into insignificance when you consider the fact that they were so poor in the last quarter.
So you already mentioned the bad fourth quarter performances in the last 4 to 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Callum Archie was up to the press today. Archie was one of a number of players that had 2 or less disposals. 9 Suns that had 2 or less disposals from the 25-minute mark of the third quarter to full time. He said that it's not a fitness issue. It's a confidence issue and a belief issue rather than a fitness issue.
Both.
But I've heard that a lot of people say it's a fitness issue.
Well, it's a fitness. You're not fit enough. And you know what? In footy, you're confident when you back your body and you back your physical ability. Mm. So the fact that they're not fit enough means they're not confident in what they can do. I don't agree with that at all. I mean, it's easy to say, oh, it's a confidence issue, but what is confidence? Yeah. It's like these people that say, oh, he's a confidence player. Name me one footballer that isn't a confidence player. Who doesn't perform well? Who does perform well when they're not confident? Everyone performs well when they're confident. So it's just one of these weasel terms that means nothing. So I don't agree with that.
Speaking of weasel, it's now time for Fair or Fast, Australia's favourite segment.
We don't have a Lucky Hume bumper yet.
No, give us a thing, Max.
I'm Kerry Packer.
It's the worst thing of all time. All right, Fair or Fast. Now, you've sort of stolen the thunder of one of them, so I've changed it as we've gone on. It was the Adelaide trading.
Renovating on the run.
That's right, so I've changed this one. Anyway, Max, I'll go to you first.
Yes.
Fair or Fast. All clubs will have an esports team in 20 years.
Fair, I guess. I mean, because it's not expensive to set up right now. Certainly, teams are always looking for new avenues to get expansion, new money.
Can I reword it? All clubs should have an esports team in 20 years.
Very fair.
Okay, good.
Entirely fair.
Ben,
it's a growing market. Get in there.
Max will be chief esports correspondent.
He will
continue to be
writing about something that doesn't exist. Ben,
what? It's on free to wear TV now.
That's
right?
True. Apologies. I was actually watching Rocket League on TV the other night. Anyway, Ben, the comp is more even now than it ever has been. Fair or Fast?
No, that's a farce. Mm. I think because there is a huge differential between Carlton and Gold Coast and Richmond and West Coast. So Paul Ruse was great on this on the couch on Monday night talking about Carlton might be close to 10th, 11th, maybe even 8th, you could mount a case for. But how far away are they from Richmond and West Coast at the moment? And I really don't like the fact our coaches and players are saying every game is hard at the moment because not every game is hard.
Yeah, not every game is hard at all. Max, to you. Fair or Fast, Geelong should settle on Reece Stanley from now on as its number one ruck option.
Ooh, this is it. Yes.
You're asking Reece Stanley's number one fan here, so I even got to mention
him. Come on, Fair or Fast.
Fast. Ooh. I think they can keep looking.
Okay. Where?
Over there somewhere.
Look up.
Look up, stupid. Yeah, no, they still need to figure something out. He was fine. He was good.
So you think they should go back to Zach? Surely they've got to settle at some point on someone.
My favourite of the two has always been Zach Smith, coming from the start of the season. So, you know.
Okay.
Give him another week, I guess.
You've got a Zach Smith bias.
I'm just exasperated over this.
Yeah. Okay, Ben.
Yes.
Fair or Fast, the bye rounds are perfect as it is across 3 weeks.
I'm put too much thought in that, but I would say fair at the moment, but
you do it with a grain of salt, though.
Depends what the alternative is.
Yeah.
If you're going back to one bye a week a week, it's much better than that.
Do we just have one footy free weekend in the middle of the season?
I would like that, and everyone goes to club and country footy, but that's just my personal opinion. We've tried everything, though, haven't we?
We have.
I think once when there was 8 games a weekend, they had 6 and 2, then they had 7 and a Friday night game.
4 and 4. Probably.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
I think it's okay as it is. I'm happy for it to be a short-term solution.
Max.
Hi.
Fair or Fast. The Herald Sun took Nat Fyfe out of context when they reported he almost retired after the 2013 season.
I mean, so I haven't watched the actual footage, so I can't say they took him out of context.
It's an AFL Players Association podcast that was given to the Herald Sun late last week.
As a story, it is a farce. The idea that this was breaking news that 5 years ago he considered retiring because he lost a grand final. If you talk to any player after they lose a grand final, they're probably not feeling great about footy.
They probably want to throw the boots in, don't they?
I would have suggested so, particularly if he's going up surfing straight after.
Not every player.
There'd be a lot of competitiveness and a lot of loyalty as well, but, you know, not as big of a story as they made it out
I still
out
think it's a story.
It's a story, but is it?
I still think it's a story.
It's a story. It is. It See, the AFLPA would disagree. I think there's more to come this week as well, my intel tells me, Ben.
Well, the podcast should be released, I think, this
well,
week.
I think there's some more good lines out of that podcast that will be released this week.
Yeah, I still think it's a story, and Friday afternoon is a slow news day into Saturday morning, particularly if, it, you know, Sydney and West Coast is a great game, obviously. That's a late file game for a paper, so I still think it's a story.
Okay, Ben, last one to you. Fair or farce, and this is a real sweeping one, so I need you to be honest.
Sort of Steve Warslog sweep, or... Yeah. Any Hayden sweep in India?
Nah, more your Pateef Patel paddle sweep.
All right.
Steve Hocking is doing a good job as AFL operations boss.
Oh,
fair
gee,
or fast?
That's broad. No, I think it's fair. I like his diplomatic approach to footy at the moment.
Consultative.
I like it because I think previous football operations managers have sort of been a little my way or highway.
Yeah.
I think this is quite a refreshing change. It's not perfect, but I just like the way he's going about it.
Do you like the abundance of committees that are being formed?
But the thing is, these committees are one-off committees as well. Yeah. These are not going to be frequently meeting committees.
Yes, so, I agree with you. I think too much has been made of all these committees. He's just exploring everyone's opinion, which is great. And the way you do that is you meet with people. So what, you can call it a committee or a group or you call it whatever you want. But I like the way he's going about it as well.
100% agree.
And that was fair or fast.
There we go.
Oh, remember when I was Kerry Packer? my hair looked all weird.
Now, while we're sort of in a segment kind of mindset as well, you've got a T-bone to pick.
Oh, no.
I do. It's back for a second week.
Clang.
the pilot was last week, and we somehow got another contract. My T-bone is at the 8. This is a whack at the 18 game day MCs for every AFL club.
Wow.
Now, it's not at the people themselves, because they're just doing a job. Mm-hmm. It is at the clubs and the AFL for allowing this mindless noise to happen before the game, at quarter time, at half time, and at three-quarter time. Shut up.
Yes.
We don't need it. We don't need it. And if you want to have something to say, give us some news. Give us some injury update or selection news. Don't just play fun and games. This is not Mario Kart or Disneyland. This is a game of footy. And I've said this to you before as well, Ben, off air.
Yes.
And it came in terrible, tragic circumstances. But the most refreshing weekend of footy we've had over the past few years was sadly when Phil Walsh died and all the games were completely quiet. There was no fan day, there was no match day activations, there was no bright colours and lights and noise. People went to watch the footy and in the end that's the product. And I can't deal with these people screaming down my face on the big screen at the MCG Etihad Stadium when I go to watch the footy with mates.
Kind of cynical in his old age, isn't he?
But I completely 100,000% agree.
Oh, wow. Good.
So this idea that we've borrowed from the US that you have to have this game day experience, you have to, someone's coming out and throwing T-shirts into the crowd.
That's how Maude Flanders died, isn't it?
It's very...
Too soon.
And the idea that... The blaring music, I think, is what I see a lot of complaints about. You can't talk to someone next to you in the breaks between quarters because you've just got this music pumping. It's insane.
Shut up.
No one wants that.
Yes.
Small children, maybe. Maybe those ads where the small children have replaced Gilla for real or something.
Yes, I actually don't mind the activities. Like, sometimes there's a race or a specky competition.
If you have stuff at one thing at halftime, stuff outside the ground, go for your life.
No, I don't mind something. Like, say, Russell Robertson has someone take a specky on his back at halftime. I can sort of deal with that.
Oh, because it's Russell Robertson.
But, like, there's actually an activity to watch. But you just have someone blaring down the screen, stop talking
at
us.
All right, Melbourne fans. Yeah, I know. I haven't been to a game. I shouldn't have.
Oh, my God. Anyway, that's my T-bone to pick.
Just clang.
Just imagine trying to be Emily Angwin trying to sell Carlton at halftime.
Oh, seriously. Polishing a turd, aren't you? I don't actually blame the people. They're doing a job. But it's just not the right thing for footy.
That was Max's sting to send. Yeah. It will be hard to top. But the tips and the cups are always my favourite part of the week on the Fox Footy podcast. Mm. So we start on Thursday night footy, which wasn't a good start last week with Port Adelaide and the Western Bulldogs. But I think it won't be. West Coast Eagles and Essendon, which will be on Thursday night for the Michael Pryor Cup. Michael Pryor now an assistant coach at Fremantle.
That's not a bad call from you, Michael Pryor. I'm trying to think of someone else.
There's not a lot of West Coast and Essendon favourites in the past. So.
No, I can't think of any. Now, this West Coast Essendon game was the was the Joe Watson, James Hurd. Look at us. We're still a great club sort of game, wasn't it?
Or was it Fremantle?
I think that was a Fremantle
one. It was in Perth.
Yes.
Well, West Coast win this one.
Of course, West Coast and Essendon was the infamous James Hurd Cuddle.
And the Kevin Sheedy, Mitchell White slit your throat type option.
Too soon. Yeah. Who wins, Max?
West Coast will win this game of football.
What's next?
Port Adelaide and Melbourne for the Peter Walsh Cup.
Whopper. Yeah. Whopper was one of my favourite players, but I was great. In fact, there's a bit of you about Peter Walsh, Ben.
And I was a halfback flanker back in the day.
I'm sure you were. I'm sure you're just a skill. Peter Walsh on one side and Daniel Ward on the other was terrific with Anthony Ingerson and the meat
and
the sandwich.
Paul from the back pocket.
Oh, first ever 9-pointer in the Wizard Home Loans Cup. this is the game of the round, and it doesn't take. There's not a lot of other options really for that mantle. But I'm tipping Melbourne, but I'm not confident at all here. Max, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think this is a game where Port can, if Port wins this, it can finish top four. That's as simple as that. It needs to win this game to have any chance of doing that, but it can do it.
Who are you tipping though?
I'm probably tipping Melbourne. I just believe in Melbourne overall more than I do Port. And Melbourne's played well at the Adelaide Oval in recent years.
They have. Yeah. Yes, they have. Clayton Oliver kicked the goal of the year last year, I think.
Need to win this sort of game, Melbourne, if they're going to finish top four, I think.
Absolutely.
As well.
It's a top four eliminator in a way.
The game will be without its headline act as well. No Jack Watts for this game, Thomas. Right call by Ken Hinckley in the match committee.
Well, he kicked 3 goals and had 17 touches on the weekend. Only Ken Hinckley will know that. They're not just dropping him to send a statement. They're actually dropping him because he wasn't playing good footy.
And because the team that played against the Bulldogs is quite good as well. And they like Todd Marshall quite a lot.
Yeah, so if there's no room for him, there's no room for him. Again, a bit like the match day MC stuff, this is not an entertainment product above a football game. This is a football game.
Speaking of entertaining football games, we're heading down to Tasmania for the Mitch Hallahan Cup between Hawthorn and the Gold Coast Suns.
Where's the entertaining football game that you... Sorry, it'll be a great broadcast on Fox Footy, yes. So that'll be worth watching.
Yes, absolutely.
Hawthorn down in Tassie by a lot, actually, I think.
By a lot?
Yeah, Gold Coast are really struggling at the moment.
Brisbane and GWS for the Joel Patful Cup. Famously, Joel Patful was on GWS's list just for salary purposes.
I was about to say, did he play a game?
No, he didn't. No, it was just as a rookie, just filling a spot because of salary purposes.
It was like an injury thing in the last year.
Did they actually pay him?
Yeah.
Good on him.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, that's what they said publicly.
I like Brisbane. I don't really like GWS, but
you
I'm
like
tipping
watching
the
Giants. Brisbane, don't you, Tom?
I really like watching Brisbane. If I could pick a game to watch right now, it'd be Brisbane versus North Melbourne at the Gabba. I really like those two teams.
The Cam Rayner Cup from last year.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be very, very interesting. Mm,
that was a fun game.
No, I'm going for the Giants, though.
I think, the Giants have to win this to have any chance of staying in touch.
Where is this game?
This game's at the Gabba.
Brisbane at the Gabba, but no, Giants.
The Jose Ramiro Cup, Tom, for Western Bulldogs and North Melbourne.
Yeah, very controversial.
Quite controversial.
Wasn't he embroiled in some sort of scratching or biting or something scandal?
Yes.
I think he was, along with Libba. I don't want to, allegedly.
Stereotype.
Stepping away from the microphone.
If you're not sure with legality, just say allegedly. I don't actually know.
That's how it works.
Dogs in North Melbourne.
Where? Etihad.
This will be at the Etihad's.
One of two Dogs North Melbourne games left of the last 10 rounds of the
season.
Is
that right?
By the way,
North Melbourne wins this. But as we spoke about earlier, the Western Bulldogs are deprived of talent because of their injury list.
I think Jason Johannesson might have said on Tuesday morning that finals are just irrelevant. Finals talk is irrelevant for the Bulldogs. They're just taking it week by week.
Yeah.
Well, they can't, mate. They're not going to win 8 of 10.
Nope. They're gone.
Well, more and more, it's looking like the 2016 flag was just a really nice blip on the radar, wasn't it? Everything came together at the one time, and as Wayne Carey once said, the best sort of hangover you can have is a premiership hangover. So good on them. They won their flag, but now it's almost time to forget about it and go again.
Yep. North is to win this to keep in the race to get to 13.
Yes.
That's the key.
And the final game will be the standalone Sunday game, live and exclusive on Fox Footy, the Chris Bryan Cup between Collingwood and Carlton.
Isn't he playing Australia in the EFL as a coach around now?
I don't know if he's a coach.
He was doing punting in America as well.
Yes,
he's raking left foot.
Famously got towed up by Brad Ottens in the 2007 preliminary final. Brad Ottens played the game of his life and Bryan had no answers.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
So thanks, Chris Bryan, for that.
Yes.
Yeah. Is he related to the Bryan brothers, the double tennis?
I don't think
tennis...
Mike and Bob are any relation. No.
Okay, just wondering. Who's playing? Collingwood Carlton, obviously. Collingwood, clearly. I mean, this weekend's all about Melbourne, Port Adelaide, and every other game is quite easy to tip, I think.
Mm. Collingwood, I agree. Which of the non-Port v Melbourne games would you say is the best chance for an upset?
I think GWS Brisbane.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Brisbane GWS.
Yeah,
particularly with the Giants injuries.
How's your week been, Ben?
Tom, it's been topped off, the cherry on top, by spinning the podcast with
Excellent.
You.
Well done.
In the Fox Footy podcast bunker.
But not me.
Yes. Just. Thank you, Maxie, for that. And the countdown is now on to the week after the grand final for the WWE event.
Yes.
Wrestling.
And thank you to our work experience young fella Liam, who's here as well.
Yes, Liam doing a magnificent job pushing all the buttons and telling us to wind it up now as a producer.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Liam.
On the Fox Footy podcast, remember to keep clicking back to foxfooty.com.au.